Real estate-based law firm attorney Kelly G. Richardson's co-founder and partner of Richardson Ober, and he's been general counsel for multiple association of realtors in Southern California. They do a lot of homeowners association work, known as HOAs. And he's based in Pasadena, but he once told me that sometimes he never sees his clients and never even visits their property. He does consultations all over the state, and he's not seeing me right now. He's done fair housing educational webinars for real estate brokers, and he's nice enough to talk to me for the fifth year in a row. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Kelly Richardson.
Well, thank you, Mark. It's always nice to be back. I enjoy our conversations very much.
Well, I appreciate it, and I hope somebody calls you and hires you. And I know you focus on homeowners associations, and you also focus on fair housing. Like I said, you would do these webinars, and you really got it down. But on the front burner is a law that we've been talking about. It took forever to come into place, finally. About balconies. And my buddy owns a condo in a six-unit building, and they're receiving bids and they're fixing it, but there's confusion about it. And I wanted to get your take on it. Am I correct that this started because there was a bunch of young kids jumping on a balcony and were either hurt or killed? And so they decided to make this law?
Yeah, Mark, this comes out of a disastrous thing in June 2015 in Berkeley. Six students were on about a fifth or sixth floor balcony of an apartment building. And I think there were a total of about 13 people on this balcony. And six of these young people died and seven other people were seriously injured when the balcony collapsed. It was a horrific situation. And within about 18 months, the California legislature put into play two bills. The first one involved apartment buildings, multi-unit buildings. And the second bill affected homeowner associations or common interest developments. And the HOA side, or the common interest development side bill, resulted in Civil Code 5551. And that gave common interest developments until January 1, 2025 to conduct visual inspections of something called elevated exterior elements. The commercial buildings had an earlier deadline, and they have a different interval where I think the commercial or the non-HOA buildings, I think they have to inspect it every 6 years while the HOAs have to do it every nine. And ever since this came into focus and intense focus, and really in about 2023 and 24, when people saw the deadline coming, we started to see boards and managers begin to focus on it. Now, of course, any association that has elevated exterior elements in California, they're now late. We're seeing a lot of associations scrambling to try to get these inspections done. But also there's an enormous amount of misunderstanding of what the law does require and what it doesn't require.
And my guest, Kelly Richardson, attorney based out of Pasadena, Southern California, talking about the new law instituted in January of 2025. And yet, I said, my buddy, he lives in a six-unit condo and they manage it themselves and they're just getting bids and they're just about to do it. But he did say it is confusing. How do they set up criteria? Because then, you know, different contractors can come in and maybe suggest different fixes. Is that part of the confusion?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first problem, well, actually, the first problem we have is that right now there's an urban legend going around the state that HOAs in California have been given a one-year extension to comply with the statute. That actually is referring to a bill that gave apartment or multi-unit housing non-HOA owners an extra year to have their first inspection. But the HOA deadline of January 2025 was never extended. Bluntly, what's happened is this bill that had the extension, you had to read the entire bill, and down at the bottom, I think it was like subpart L, it said specifically, this does not apply to common interest developments. So that's the first one. The second misunderstanding is what the law requires be inspected. And an exterior elevated element is specifically defined. And basically what it says is, if you've got anything that people are standing on or walking upon, which is not part of the main building structure, and which is 6 feet or more above the ground level, and which is the association's obligation to maintain and repair, then those have to be inspected first by January 2025, and then every 9 years after that. But the problem is that people aren't understanding that they don't have to inspect all balconies or everything above ground. It's only certain types of balconies, certain types of elevated elements.
Now, one thing you said that it's not part of the main building structure. What does that mean?
Well, you have to look at the definition in Civil Code 5551A3, and an elevated exterior element, according to sub 3, it has to be a load-bearing component. And a load-bearing component, I'm going to read you the exact words because I'm looking at the statute, is a component that extend beyond the exterior walls of the building. So many buildings have so-called balconies that do not extend out from the building, but that actually are patios within the main structure of the building. A true story out of South San Francisco, as you mentioned, Mark, these days virtual technology means that I, as a real estate lawyer, can represent a client anywhere from the Oregon border down to the Mexican border in California. And one of my clients is a homeowner association, a multi-story in South San Francisco, not that far from the airport. And they were ordered by the city of South San Francisco to conduct a balcony inspection or a Civil Code 5551 inspection. But when you looked at the building and it simply took a quick view on Google Earth, for example, you could see that all of the balconies in this mid-rise building are indented patios. So there are no protrusions sticking out from the main structure of the building. And there were also nothing else sticking out from the main building that people could walk on that was made of wood that might rot and weaken and fall. So I had to write a letter back to the city building inspector saying, hey, there's nothing sticking out from the building here. And under Civil Code 5551, this building doesn't qualify as requiring the inspection. And I asked the inspector to get back to me, and funny thing, he never did.
But he left them alone, and so you, just by default, that's fascinating. I learned something, and so did he. My guest, Kelly Richardson, co-founder, partner of Richardson Ober. Am I pronouncing Ober correctly?
You are.
Doesn't he own the ride-sharing network?
I wish he did.
That's a different
But it's.
pronunciation. I'm sorry. Richardson Ober. It sounds more like a musical instrument, I think, rather than the car story. So my buddy, I'm thinking about his condo, and he's got exterior steps going up. He's on the second floor, and he's got exterior steps going up to this balcony that does protrude out. So you're forced to do an inspection. So what, who knows how clear are the criteria for the inspection? What kind of checklist is there to know if you need repairs? Because boy, they need repairs.
Well, I think the criteria in the statute are quite clear, but unfortunately, some lawyers, many managers, and many contractors and volunteer board members aren't reading the statute, because it's not only something that's more than 6 feet above ground that people are standing on that juts out from the main building. It's also got to be supported by wood. So if, for example, you have a stairway that is not part of the main framework of the building, and it's above 6 feet. Is it supported by steel stringers, or is it 100% wood? If it's supported by steel, then that would be another kind of stairway that would not be an exterior elevated element.
Oh, so
And I'll
steel
tell you another
or
thing.
concrete?
Yeah, exactly. If that stairway is made of steel or concrete, something that's not wood, then we don't worry about that wood element not being there, that would then weaken from termites or dry rot and then possibly hurt somebody because the main elements are not wood. Another thing that we're seeing is that some associations, the wood elements might qualify at first as an exterior elevated element, but they're not the responsibility of the condominium association to maintain. So, for example, a lot of associations that are townhouse style, where somebody has a balcony that may jut out above their garage, for example, or above the back kitchen, that certainly is more than 6 feet high, and certainly it's made of wood, and it juts out from the main townhouse. But certain HOAs require that the individual homeowners maintain and repair their own balconies, since it doesn't really affect anybody else. Well, if it's not association responsibility, then it isn't something that falls under this inspection requirement.
That's a great point. My guest attorney, Kelly Richardson of Richardson Ober. You know, it's always confusing when you're selling condos for real estate agents because, you know, you want to know exactly what's covered, what's included in the association fee, and what you're personally responsible for. And of course, common areas, you know, if there are two units and you both share a balcony, then it might be covered by the association. So I wonder if a lot of associations decided to not make balconies part of, you know, have they tried to backpedal and get out of that responsibility?
Well, yes, absolutely. Many associations, long before this law was coming, felt that it just made more sense to give individual townhome owners control of their balconies, since nobody was living under the balcony except that homeowner. And that allowed homeowners to sort of pace their own level of maintenance that they wish to pursue. I think the advent of Civil Code 5551 has accelerated that. I have been asked by a significant number of associations to draft amendments to the CC&Rs that the homeowners could vote upon and thereby shift that responsibility from the association, which then took it out of the legal requirement.
Well, I guess if you have only 20% of the homeowners in the condo association that have these particular type of balconies and 80% don't, then they're going to want to vote and say, yeah, we don't want to do that. But if 60% of the condo owners have these balconies, then that vote would go the other way.
Interesting. I have found that over the years that people seem to appreciate the ability to control their own elements of their homes. I think one of the complaints that a lot of times people have about condominium living is that the board controls everything and they feel like they have no individual power. So my experience has been that for the most part, people like having the control and the power transferred back to them on these issues. If I didn't have a balcony, I would want to vote twice. I'd want to vote Chicago style. I'd want to vote five times because I want to get that off the HOA budget. Since I don't have a balcony, I'm not getting a direct benefit from that expense.
Right. That's interesting. That's interesting. You know, I mean, it can go either way. I mean, I imagine if you had an association that was just everybody had a balcony. I wanted to go back to something you said about the staircase and made of wood. So sometimes you might have a situation where it's not even a balcony, but it's simply a staircase with a small little entrance to enter the front door. But that, if it's made of wood, that counts as the balcony. It's above 6 feet, so then it's part of this inspections.
Well, if a stairway is not part of the main structure of the building and it's supported by wood and it's at least 6 feet above ground level, then yeah, that stairway would fall under this same exterior elevated element requirement.
Okay, so to be, one should not refer to this as the balcony law because it applies elsewhere as well.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, Mark, the bill most commonly is thought of as balconies because probably we all hark back to that horrible 2015 tragedy, but it also can affect what I call bridges, where you have a condominium complex consisting of multiple buildings that are tied together above the ground level by walkway bridges. If those walkway bridges are purely of beams, wood beams, that would fall under Civil Code 5551. And then, as we've also mentioned, stairways. I think those three elements, balconies, bridges, and stairways, are so far are the things that I've seen that fall under the statute.
These are a few of my favorite things: a balcony, staircases, and bridges. Sounds like a song I once heard. My guest, Kelly Richardson, attorney at law. Is there an attorney anywhere else but at law? I don't know.
That's a fair question. That's like the argument about what really does Esquire mean, and I think most of us can't tell you.
It's a shoe polish. It's a shoe polish.
I think so.
So I had a question in my head. About the now I can't think of it. We were talking about the law of the different balconies. Oh well, it's gone. It was the best question of the whole interview, and now it's gone.
Oh,
What
shoot.
do you find? Do you think that people are getting taken advantage of? Oh no, I remember what I was going to say. Thank you. One of the things that we would see a lot in home inspections when there was a balcony or a staircase, exterior, or even interior, maybe, that what do they call it? What are the vertical members called? Balusters that were too far apart, that the new code, when you built new railings, they were close enough so a little child couldn't fall through. And it would come up on the home inspection and you would disclose it, but nobody, there was no enforcement, there was no fix, and the buyer would live with it. But I think with my buddy on his job, I think he said since they're going through this, they have to correct that aspect of it, even though it might not be structural. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I had the building codes did change a number of years ago to narrow the spindles or whatever those vertical pieces are that are below the main rail of a balcony, so that to greater protect small children. And those can be made of wood. I find that typically they're made of metal. But I don't know because the inspection is looking for repairs necessary to the wood elements of the balcony or the bridge or the stairway. I'm not sure that you would need to disturb the actual, I guess we'd call it the barrier structure of a balcony where it has those pickets or spindles, whatever we call them. I don't know that you'd have to disturb those. So I'm not sure that would come into play. I will tell you that many associations struggle with whether that is a safety issue that they need to retrofit and change those balconies because that could be really expensive if you have a large building.
Right. Well, it doesn't seem like it's part of the structural aspect, and so what you're saying is you're not certain that you've read that in the law, but if there's any follow up on that, please let me know. My guest attorney, Kelly Richardson, a partner of Richardson Ober, based out of Pasadena. Any final words on the structural balcony law before we take a break and come back with another topic?
Yeah, I appreciate it, Mark. The last thing I would say is that there are a lot of engineering and architecture firms, and sometimes allied with contracting firms, that are going out and not following the statute, but adopting a very, very broad definition of what needs to be inspected. And I have many clients have been over inspected, where the contractor or the I'm sorry, the engineer or the architect, because you have to be an engineer architect to do these inspections, they inspect far more than strictly what's required by the statute. And then they wind up scaring the HOA into thinking that they immediately need to spend $1 million rehabbing their building. Well, sometimes, though, that's actually helpful for an association that hasn't maintained its building very well. But I'm concerned that a lot that there are misunderstandings out there where associations are thinking that they are compelled to now do all these repairs by this company. And I hate to think that construction firms are using this as a business opportunity, because this is a deadly serious matter of protecting safety. But I can tell you that many times when a client has come to me before they engage the inspection, or after they've got the report and before they embark on a major construction project, I have to tell them, if you're going to do a major rehab of your building, do it because you think it needs it, not because somebody told you the statute requires it, because frankly, a lot of the time the statute doesn't require what these firms are advocating. So I would just caution your listeners, if your association hasn't yet performed engaged this inspection, or if it has engaged the inspection and very widespread renovation of the building is recommended, you might want to check with your legal counsel and make sure that you have to do this as opposed to choosing to do this.
I like the way you phrased it, and I like the way you stated, obviously, that people do want to know the structure of their building, regardless of whether or not the statute covers it. But you do want to know what you're required to do, as opposed to being led to do. So there you go, Kelly G. Richardson, Richardson Ober, based out of Pasadena. You are listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. We'll take a quick break, and we got another topic for you. Also, under the Homeowners Association rules, about a new law. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.